Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, like, comment, let us know what you think about the episode. If there's a suggestion you have for a guest or topic, let us know. We're always checking comments on YouTube. Love to hear from you guys, and then get your either topic or the guest you suggest onto the Diesel Podcast. Today I'm going to be chatting with Johnny from Stainless Diesel. I wanted to catch up with him on the race program, what's coming up, events he's going to be at, and also wanted to chat with him about boost leaks, which is something that can be a nightmare to try to find, where they're at. So they've got a really cool product that they offer on their website to help you guys be able to find those. And then I ask him a little bit about like the VP44 trucks, 5.9 common rails, some other vehicles, where, you know, some places to look for where they can start to get boost leaks as they get older, get a lot of mileage on them. So it's going to be a great conversation. Before we get to it, though, I want to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors, D-Max Store. We appreciate their support. They specialize in Duramax performance, whether you got an LB7 all the way to L5P, anything in between. That's what they live and eat and breathe is Duramax performance. So if you have a Duramax truck looking to make sure that it lasts as long as it can, performs up to your expectations, or you just need to refresh it, definitely head on over to dmaxstore.com, check out what they have, anything from the engine to powertrain, suspension, maintenance items, they've definitely got you covered. If you have any questions about maintenance or upgrades for your Duramax, just give them a call at 877-4-MY-DMAX. They're more than happy to chat with you guys, answer your questions, and make sure that you get the parts that you need to make the truck run how you want. Also, our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 20% off discount code for you. Use code 20diesel at kershaw.kaiusa.com. If you're in the market for an EDC knife, something hunting, fishing, or use around the job site, around the house, they've definitely got you covered no matter what your budget is. So there's a lot of pictures, a lot of things you guys have sent in to us. Let us know about the cool gear you got. So if you're in the market, it's a great way to save 20% off site-wide, get some cool gear. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Johnny from Stainless Diesel, talking about racing, diesel performance, and then how to track down boost leaks. Johnny, welcome back to the Diesel Podcast. How you been?
Doing good, buddy. Good to be back on with you.
Yeah, we're getting into springtime here pretty soon. Racing, people doing stuff to their trucks, and I know there's a lot that we can chat about. One of my favorite questions to always ask is like, what do you guys hear on the phones? What are people coming into the shop asking you guys? Because I bet there's a lot of people listening that can have the same questions or, you know, are fighting the same challenges, and you guys hear it all Monday to Friday, and probably even weekends a little bit too.
Yeah, it's yep, definitely a lot of racing stuff going on this winter. We've been doing a lot of stuff with the Pro Mod. It's down at Hammer Tech Race Cars. Again, there, Tony helped us quite a bit with the chassis. Tony used to work with Antron Brown on his team for a long time with Don Schumacher Racing and Top Fuel. So he's got a really good amount of experience, and he helped us quite a bit with the chassis revamp. Basically, not sure how many people know, but we went off the end of the track down there at Scheid Diesel last year, 2022. Parachute failed to come out. The front end of the car got bent up pretty good, wadded up the carbon fiber hood. So we have a new hood that's getting fitted down there. Tony essentially cut the front half of the car off and retubed it all. We made some updates, so it should be a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, and definitely excited to get that going for this year.
Are you finding out there that the gas racing world is maybe taking more notice of the diesel stuff, or kind of interested in it, or seeing what's going on at the track? And are, you know, I kind of just think maybe at one point it was almost like you'd laugh or joke or something when you'd see them, but they're getting so fast, and these times and the trap speeds are getting up there. I'm curious if they're taking notice.
Yeah, I think, just with Ryan here the last week at, with that Lights Out 14. So he made some really good runs, qualified number one early in the week, settled out on a 32 car field. He settled out qualified number four Right before the race, he made it down to the semifinals, you know, so essentially four cars left, which is amazing for the diesel. So he's got the record mile an hour in the class. He runs our stainless diesel manifold on that combination. Beautiful blue Nova. So all the gas guys are just, you know, shaking their heads. And they actually made some new rules for him, I think, limiting his nitrous jet size, as well as adding weight to the car to slow him down. So I think the gas guys are taking notice, you know, for sure.
I did want to ask you about that because he chatted with me a bit about how in the class that he's in, they're trying to keep it as much parity as they can. So the way his car was set up is he was a little bit slower on the 60 foot, but he would go really fast, like mid track and towards the end. And they look at the weight and, you know, he was telling me that people out there that may not be too familiar, they think they're just putting rules on him because he's a diesel and they don't want him to succeed, right. But it's really about creating parity. So in the class that you're in, yes. And the kind of racing you do, is it similar or different or what's it like for you?
So interesting note, in the ODSS, you know, the Outlaw Diesel Super Series, which we're racing in now, for Pro Mod class, I mean, it's essentially there's a weight restriction. So anything Pro Mod in the rule book is essentially under 3,600 pounds and diesel. It could be four-wheel drive, it could be two-wheel drive. In that particular class that we switched to, you know, from Pro Street class, as opposed to, you know, the Pro Street class is 4,400 pounds on the weight limit deal. So, like, take that over to the gas side. We're planning on maybe hitting some of NMCA stuff around us. And there is a six-cylinder import rule. There's no diesel rule yet, but I'm hoping to change that soon. The dual power adder is kind of the rules looked at funny. So sometimes diesel is just a normal diesel with a turbo is not considered a power adder. But we run nitrous, obviously, you know, with the turbo. So getting the rules to be looked at a little differently is the thing. We're actually going to run with the Street Outlaw boys this year, is what we plan to make a few appearances there and run No Prep Kings series. And they're coming around. I think we're going to try to hit the Bowling Green race and maybe the St. Louis race for sure. We're looking at a couple more that we might be able to hit with the Pro Mod. So it's called Big Tire Outlaw. We would fit into that class. And there are some weight restrictions in there as well for what we're doing. But again, no diesel specific rules yet, but I'd see those coming soon, I'd imagine.
I bet there's going to be a lot of, well, it's going to gain a lot of attention doing the Street Outlaw stuff too, just with the amount of people that pay attention to it all over the country. And I think as it gets more common, there'll probably be these rules that you mentioned, which was really, it's really fascinating for me to, because I kind of got an inside look because I don't race, you know, like you guys do, yeah. But just understanding mm-hmm. the science that goes between it with how quick you take off, where the speed's coming in, weight being an issue, and you can't go under a certain, you know, weight limit, and just all the strategy, I guess, is the right word for it.
It's tuning a race car is something else. There's a lot of little fine, a little does a lot sometimes when you're fine tuning these things, and you're talking, you know, we've got 3,000 horsepower diesel hot rods where the Street Outlaw guys, you know, those guys were cresting 4,000, 4,500. So my gist of it, especially as a turbo maker, we are making, I've got new turbocharger stuff. It's like a G57 platform, so a big turbine wheel, bigger than a GT55, so bigger stuff. And we're looking at 3,000 horsepower fuel only turbos. And then we're going to spray these things well up into the 4,500 range eventually. I think my goal for this year is to see if we can't, you know, settle the car down, go A to B. You know, we've been 421, a relatively medium kind of power level, about 2,300 horsepower. So not leaning on it really hard just yet. But I think in the future, you know, we're going to be pushing that 4,000 mark to run down there in those 350s and 360s in an eighth mile at 200 plus, you know. But 380s is in my future this year. That's our goal. At close to 200, if not just a little bit under. And that'll put us right there at 3,400 horsepower, 3,500, which is definitely doable. It's just we have to finesse that chassis down the track and couple little tricks up our sleeve to make that happen. It's more than just power.
Yeah, that's what I That's just what I realize, you know, with some of these conversations is it's not just power. There's so much else that goes into it. And I know people love to check out your car and what you guys are doing. What are some other events or places that people are going to be able to watch you, watch the car, you know, see you go for that 380 and, you know, almost 200 mile per hour trap speed?
Heck yeah. So, I mean, you know, definitely going to be at UCC this year. You know, so that'll be really exciting down in Indianapolis. It's a great event. You know, a lot of people should come down and check that out. If you've never seen a diesel event or you're maybe thinking about going to one and you only have time for, you know, get some time off work and go play, the UCC event is just a phenomenal way to go see diesel racing in general. So we're going to be there. We'll be in North Carolina, Rudy's event. It's a Outlaw Diesel Super Series points race. It's going to be coming up, I think, second or third week of April, I believe. So that's coming up soon. We're going to be down there. It's Rockingham, North Carolina. And then Bowling Green, Kentucky is back on the schedule. So the old TS performance race kind of deal back in the day. They put that back on the schedule. I'm not sure who's the lead sponsor of that one. I think the track is actually putting that one on too. So part of the points racing series as well. And that's going to be one we're definitely going to hit in Bowling Green. Love that track, and that town's just a good place to hang out. And again, I think back at that track with the No Prep Kings as well, which will be exciting for us. And then I think St. Louis, so I think it's a worldwide dragway in St. Louis. It's going to be another one we're definitely going to hit. There's another series we're looking at doing. It's going to be like Midwest Pro Mods. So they come up in the Michigan, not too far from us at Martin, Michigan, mid-summer. So late July, I think, is when they're scheduled in there. So great track, US 131 there, Martin, Michigan. So we're going to definitely get out there and play with the car guys quite a bit more this year than what we had been doing previously.
Now, at UCC, are you guys going to have a booth set up and people be able to chat with you guys?
Yeah, heck yeah. We're going to have a lot of turbos on display, and then we bring, you know, shirts and hats and t-shirts and swag, and then we get a lot of cool giveaway stuff too. We've got these little turbo five blade turbo air fresheners we give out to everybody, and just a good time to meet and greet people and put names with faces and bring a couple things down and answer questions.
Now, when you're at like an event like UCC, it's something that we all think about, these incredible dyno numbers and how powerful the trucks are. At the booth, do you get a lot of race questions? Like, you know, people that want to build race trucks are looking for a power number, or is it more guys that tow and, you know, or just kind of a little bit of everything that you hear at the booth?
Sure. Yeah, just a little bit of everything. You know, we've got the farmers that got, you know, a tried and true 12 valve. You know, they come in and trucks relatively, you know, stock, you know, a lot of times they pulled their hay wagon for years with it. And then eventually, you know, the old stock turbo went out and they're like looking at our shiny spinny things on the table and like, hey, what's this going to do for my hay wagon pulling ability? So we kind of talked to them, faster spool up and the cooler EGTs and some good torque to get you moving out of the cornfield when you're trying to pull two hay wagons at once or something, you know. So we get those questions along with, you know, like the guys that are looking at that level of competition say, man, how do I get started doing some of this, getting into this? And, you know, give them tips and tricks on, you know, how to approach the drag tree and what the trees mean and how you take the lights when you're drag racing. So some of that stuff, I think, on the drag racing sides intimidates people sometimes. And a lot of guys just want to get into it on some level where it's just ET bracket racing. So it's really basic. You can take your stock truck. You don't have to get all crazy to have fun, you know. Just take your stock truck and pull up there and go down the track. So it's a good time.
I'm sure you've had customers like this, but somebody, may have been at UCC or they might have just stopped in the shop or, you know, seen you out someplace and they asked that question of, you know, I really want to go fast. My truck's relatively stock right now. How do I do it? And then, you know, through the years, they start to get towards that level and make more and more power. What are some key things that they can do along the way to either choose the right setup at the start or avoid having to redo things? You know, is it finding a company or, you know, a series of companies to work with? Is it picking the class first, the power number? What really helps those guys get to where they want to go?
So I think, like, really you got to pick the class you want to be in, and then once you've identified, like, if you want to race 770 or even build like a pro street truck or something really crazy, there's a lot of great helpful companies out there that would help you get started in a direction. And we recommend turbo sizes all the time and like combinations to do that drag racing stuff. And then there's guys, like the Firepunk boys, they're really good at doing some of that chassis work stuff, as well as, Tony down at HammerTech Race Cars. And, there's a big family of people out there that can get you the information you need, that's for sure. And it just starts by asking questions. There's really make a phone call, check into what other guys are doing, and find out what class you want to be in, and just go for it, have some fun.
I think one of the biggest things, if I was thinking of doing that, and, say I picked like a 2003 59 or an 06 59 or something like that, is you've done it all. You've raced so many different platforms. Even though, you sell turbos and manifolds and other things, I'm sure you've had plenty of experience with tuning companies and transmission companies and,
Oh yeah.
suspension setups that. If I went to you and said, "Hey, this is where I want to go. I need this turbo. I need these kind of things," I know that you would be able to help or guide me with suggestions of places
Yeah,
that could really help you.
and that's a huge thing too. Like, when you're building something like that and you want to get into it, it's like you're gonna read all kinds of different information on the internet. It's hard to tell which direction to go in. So, I mean, like, if you get to somebody that's like a seasoned veteran and somebody's done it for a little while, they can at least point you in the right directions. And it's not just that you need, even if you didn't need a turbo or if you just need a recommendation on, gear ratio, tire size, transmission gearing, it's a huge amount of data to take in when you're really getting faster. We bounce ideas off of each other all the time, and more than willing to help customers out at every level. So.
I follow you guys on social media, and I see a ton of posts with turbos, 6.7 Power Stroke stuff, the HE351 VEs, and tons of different things. And I'm curious, what are people asking you about? Are they asking, for what kind of power levels can be supported? How do I install it? What are some questions you guys are getting right now?
Well, right now here lately, we've had spring fever's coming, tax time's coming, spring fever, and guys are like, I'm getting a lot of questions about hey, what do you think about dirt drag racing? And hey, what do you think about sled pulling and all this good stuff? And they might have a more mild 5.9 truck or just even again, the second gens and third gen platforms pretty hot nowadays. So a little bit older platform, but guys are playing with those a little bit more, I think. So the dirt drag racing stuff is really popular in Indiana, I think Ohio, and even starting towards Michigan as well. So like the HE351s, we've got some stuff that's relatively stock fuel, and we've got a pretty radical one that we're going on the dyno with here pretty soon. It's probably more like your work stock pulling unit, so be like a 68 millimeter compressor and like a 72 and a half turbine wheel. And that thing, probably 1,100 horsepower capability at the crankshaft. So it's you can get rowdy as you want to when you start looking at these sled pulling classes and the dirt drag racing stuff, and even bring that stuff to the, show up at UCC with something like that midsummer and just be ready. So getting a lot of questions about that lately.
That's a good amount of power to make with a VGT.
Yep. Yeah,
What
that it's gonna be a wild platform.
about the Power Stroke and the Duramax side?
Yeah, the L5P stuff is out there and definitely going well. So a lot of guys getting some great feedback on that. And then the 20 plus Ford stuff is still in beta testing. Basically production stuff's coming. Waiting on some castings and some pieces parts so we can start releasing those very soon. Hopefully Q2 of this year they should be out for sure. And then at that point we'll have every single stock appearing bolt-on turbo available in our five blade Mafia line. So it's going to be exciting to have all of that under one roof.
The L5P stuff seems like it's really gonna take off even more than it did with HP tuner stuff, and the way that people can just access tuning. And Fast was on telling us about their like code-free lift pump kit, and just the performance side of that should see a bump here pretty soon.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, I think HP tuners. A lot of guys are dealing with those on the Duramax platform for the new stuff. It seems like it's a neat platform. There's a lot of gas drag racers that use that for logging, and the Hellcat guys, the Mustang guys, are using HP tuners, and just like the Diesel Boys are too. So I'm like, there's the future's definitely going to be performance related. That's like looking out there. A lot of different platforms are taking off.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see. Well, I know the transmission side of those with the 10 speeds is going to be something that they'll have to tackle, but I think just with the access or ease of getting your truck tuned and then the parts that are going to come along for it and then the transmission development, it'll be really interesting to see how the GM line progresses, through that and
The 10-speed transmission, it's going to be wild, It's going to be when you really start laying some power down through those things. I think the new, I think they're teasing with the new 6.7 power stroke. I think 1,200 foot pounds, if I heard right, on the new, and that's a 10-speed platform as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how those hold up.
It's really tough. It would be so tough to pick a truck now between the three that are, they're all really good. And
Oh, I know.
like as an enthusiast, you always want to get a little bit more power out of them. It's like, which one do I pick?
The and the Fords are, I mean, like, I'm a big Dodge guy, but I mean, man, the Ford trucks, they're nice. And then like when they keep throwing out big torque numbers and 500 horsepower and 1200 foot pounds, it's like makes you excited to see, how hard is Dodge gonna swing back with the Cummins horsepower, and then what's the Duramax boys gonna do? How hard are they gonna push? So in the future, it's just seems like the big three are pushing hard to feed that hunger for power,
Oh yeah. Well, we think of what they come with now versus 2007 and a half, 2008. They were pretty much right where the LBZ and the 5.9 were. And you think of 500 horse or even more than that, and 1,200 foot pounds of torque stock off the lot. People used to pay a lot of money to get that kind of those kind of torque numbers, out of the older trucks.
And I'm kind of looking at it like, look at what the Mustang platform, they started out being some 500 horsepower stuff and 400 horsepower things, and now, I mean, you can buy almost an 800 horsepower factory Mustang right off the showroom floor, emissions intact, and the drivetrain is set up to take that abuse, just like the Dodge, the Challengers, the Hellcats, the I think that the diesel will go that way as well, just looking at what the big manufacturers are doing in the car side.
I had a question from a listener, and he had inherited a truck, and I think it was, I don't remember if it was a 12 valve or a VP44 truck, but it had been sitting a while, and he got it running, and he said he thinks he has a boost leak, and he's like, I can't find this thing, and I know, just from paying attention to diesel for a while, loving these trucks, they can be tough to find, and I saw. I think it was on Facebook. You guys had a kit to help with that. So I wanted to chat with you about boost leaks and how people, that are listening in the garage on the weekend, trying to get something running. What are some ways that they can, try to isolate where it's coming from? Because it could be the smallest little thing that can do it, or, it's just they can be tough to find.
I'll tell you what, I got a place near and dear to my heart with the second gen trucks, man. I love the VPs, like the second gen body style. The thing we find on as the trucks get older, the intercooler core to the tank, you'll find leaks there, and it's something that's not obvious. You might not hear it, you still might be, like a guy called me the other day, hey Johnny, I think truck's got some higher EGTs than it used to have, and I'm still making, 35 pounds of boost, and I'm still pulling my trailer, but the EGTs went up. Something going on. Lost my mileage. My mileage dropped from, like, I think he was getting like 18, 19. He dropped down to 15, and he's just scratching his head. So, man, I've checked everything. I've, changed the oil. I had my injectors pop tested. I did all this cool stuff, and I didn't. I said, well, did you boost leak check it? He said, no. So puts it together and plugs this. We make this little billet piece, and it's available in all kinds of different sizes. So, like, for your second gens, like your 351s, like a 4-inch boot, right? You just put an air compressor fitting in it. You can put a regulator on it if you want, but just plug it on there, and it's a high pressure boost checker. So some of these ones, like, you can go to Home Depot and buy a boot and kind of rubber piece and some plastic PVC, but that thing will blow off the front of the turbo and scare the crap out of you if you get it much over about 15 pounds of pressure. So our boot's kind of made really robust with our, you know, 130 pounds, you know, tested boot pressure, you know, 5 and 8 layer boots, depending on what boot size we got. But typically you're testing 20, 30 pounds of boost. If you're running, you know, 30, 40 pounds of boost, you can test at that level too, if your air compressor keeps up. But on a second gen, the heater grid gaskets will start squealing like a balloon at say 40 pounds, but it won't do it at 20 pounds when you're testing. So there's some weird stuff you can find if you do test at high pressure. So we built this thing, and we got them available in a master kit for like shops out there that want to get every single size. I think it goes down from like 3 inches all the way up to 5.5 inches in increments, and everything in between, you know, 3.5, 4, 5 inch, all kinds of neat stuff there you can test with that. But on the second gens, as the trucks get older, I'm finding a lot of guys having core on the passenger side core, the tank essentially, and the cores right there where they're soldered jointed together. There's some leaks right there, and it's hard to, you might hear it, but you can't feel it, but you're going to hear something going on. I tell them my trick is, if you don't have a smoke machine, a lot of shops will get little smoke machines and smoke check them, and you'll see where it's leaking. But if you're at home and you're doing this in your house, you know, your shop, at your house, your garage, you can plug this little simple boost leak checker on, plug that thing in. And if you can't find it, sometimes the plenum gaskets on the back of the cylinder head, kind of on the side, hard to reach, might leak. Like the 12 valves in the VP trucks, they got a red paper gasket that's factory, and sometimes it'll blow out in between bolt holes, and you'll lose your mileage. And this other gentleman, he found an intercooler leak. But I've seen all kinds of weird leaks. But you can take baby powder, just a little handful of it, and or squeeze bottle and squeeze it in the general area, and you'll watch it blowing in a direction. You can find the leak pretty quick.
Are those points where they leak on the second gens still common on third gens and even the 6.7 Cummins?
And something I'm seeing on the third gens differently than the second gens is, like, these trucks, you know, they're getting 20 years old, 15, 20 years old. And what we're finding on those, the early model years had a plastic tanks, and those things are notorious for blowing up if you made a little bit more than factory boost. So the aluminum tanks, same thing on the third gens for sure. You can see it on the driver or the passenger side. That's the hot side of the intercooler. And I think the thermal expansion over the many years of service causes that attachment point to start leaking. And that's a pretty common point even in the third gens. But another point that's something that we see in the third gens and fourth gens now, that those are getting a little bit older, is the MAP sensors are, if you do a boost leak check, it leaks, it blows the guts out of the MAP sensors over time. So the MAP sensor will start leaking boost out of it. So we've seen some leak, but not throw a code, which is weird. Like you think if the sensor went bad, it's still measuring boost, but it's leaking, and not just around the O-ring. It's just like coming through it and out the top of the sensor. So it's like a 2-bolt hold down sensor with an O-ring kind of deal. And through the sensor, it's coming out. So it's very interesting. The older trucks are, you're finding weird things that you never seen before because of the age. So
I'm sure there's some Power Stroke and Duramax guys listening. We'll ask them about those. Where do those
oh, yeah, leak? There's some, oh, yeah. Yeah, the older Y-bridge O-rings, they used to be pretty notorious. You know, they dry out and they get hot heat cycling. So the O-rings just kind of degrade over time and get dried out, and they shrink. And, you know, you get 15, 20 years of, you know, 400,000 miles plus on some of the older trucks. They'll show some problems.
It's interesting how it might not just be obvious, because I've been in some trucks where it's obvious there's a boost leak, like sounds like that balloon that you mentioned, and like, you know, but trying to isolate it when you don't hear that would, especially doing it, you know, in your garage or driveway or something like that. I think that kit will definitely help people.
Yeah, the kit works really good for high pressure and stuff like that. It comes, you know, all kinds of different options, you know, like I said, you can buy just a single boot and a single kit. think they start out at just under $100, and then the master kit, you can get every single boot size you could ever imagine to test it all. But I think the funny thing is now too is, like, I think, like, and I talked with the boys the other day in the shop about this, like, years ago, it's like when you'd have a boost leak, man, it'd be just so obvious, right? Where nowadays, you know, the turbo technology's come so far that you got a tremendous amount of CFMs even at low pressure. So if you have a boost leak, it won't be as obvious, but, like, in some cases, so you can have a perfectly great running truck and no red flags, you know, your mileage is good, your power's really good, your EGTs are low, drivability's fine, you're not hearing any odd sounds, and then you can have a really decent boost leak still, but not an obvious sign. So one of those things where it's kind of like, I tell guys, I said, you know what, when you take your air filter off, whether, you know, your S&D air filter, and you're going to clean this thing out, or your K&N filter, you're going to wash that thing, change your oil on a Saturday, I said, man, you should boost leak check that at the same time. That's like one of your maintenance items. I'd highly recommend that.
What are some other things you guys are working on that people should keep their eye out for this spring and into early summer for either turbo kits or other parts or upgrades that you guys got?
We definitely have a couple new items coming down the line. It's we're always testing stuff all the time, but we've really getting into the bigger turbo frames. So we've got a G57, which is bigger than a GT55. We've done some billet center section for these things. So it's roughly about 10 pounds lighter than a GT55 platform. It'll plug and play within the same range. So say we had a racer or a compound guy that might have a big Garrett frame unit. We're going to be able to have some large stuff like 4.1 inch compressor wheels. It is maybe even up to 5 inch here in the midsummer that'll fit in that same platform. So it's going to be pretty exciting for the big boy stuff this year. Been quite a bit of testing. We use them on our Pro Mod, and we're looking at different wheel designs. So the unique feature about that big unit is its billet center sections, lightweight for racing. We've got a 9-blade turbine wheel, which is really prominent that we've been playing with for going on 2 years now with our stock appearing. The 9-blade turbine it's lightweight and a lot less drive pressure. And instead of going to a bigger turbine wheel that could be lazier, we can do it within a normal size turbine and have really good leverage and low drive pressure. So I'm excited to see what the big stuff does this year.
I had somebody that was, I would say, newer to the performance side of it, and I think they just got confused or lost in all the terminology between compressor, turbine, billet, different blade sizes, all these different things. And I know it's a really complex topic, but if you had to simplify it for somebody that's looking for not a full-on race truck, but, you know, a nice street truck, what should they keep in mind when they're looking at different turbo sizes as it relates to the compressor, the turbine, the number of blades, the materials that it is?
That's a great question. So when some of the guys would get a stock appearing, you know, say on a BP truck, for instance, and say their turbo went out, well, they got, you know, nowadays, you know, it's common to see BP trucks, you know, 300,000 miles on them, 400 now with the mileage in the year that they are. Stock turbos going out. And, you know, they're used to, might have a nice little edge monitor on it where they can see their boost, you know, 35 or 28 pounds usually is like stock pressure. But if they turned it up a little bit, maybe run 35 pounds or something. But when you put a bigger turbo on and like stock sizes on those, you know, 56 millimeters, something small. And we'd say you get one of our 6060s. So it's a little bit bigger compressor wheel size for relatively low power, you know, 500 horsepower and down drivability. They'll notice that, hey, you know, my EGTs are a lot lower, but so is my boost. And why is that? And basically, when you go to a larger turbo size, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make more boost, unless you have the fuel to kind of push it. So, like, we can have more flow, more CFMs at less pressure when you go to a bigger turbo, but you can also turn up the wick with larger injectors and play at a higher boost level as well. So it's kind of common, like, people think, oh, I'm going to put this bigger turbo on and it's going to make more boost. And that's not always the case, depending on the setup. But it could be that way if they want it, you know, if you want to put more injector to it. in some cases, but just because you make less boost typically doesn't mean you're having less or more or less EGTs, but it's all about flow at pressure. So larger turbos will move more air at less pressure. And if you turn the pressure up with additional fuel, you can make even more boost and more flow. So it's a question we get here and there. It's confusing, I know. As far as compressor sizes, we talk about like a, usually the there's a major and a minor diameter. So the you pull your air filter off, the part of the compressor wheel that you see right behind the air filter is typically the inducer. So that's inducting the air first. The major diameter, the larger diameter is the exducer. And that's the side that's tucked behind the compressor cover that you can't see unless you remove that. But we talk in terms of turbo sizes by the inducer. So the part that you see when you pull off the air filter. Exhaust wheels are a little different. You know, they'll talk in terms of inducer or exducer. There's the part that you see if you pulled off your downpipe, that would be your exducer on the exhaust wheel. So that's the side of the exhaust going out. The paddle wheel coming in is a little bit larger, depending on the turbo size. A lot of different ratios there. It could be confusing for sure. Compressor sides, you know, it takes in the cold air. The turbine side is, that's your hot exhaust side. Just think when somebody's saying turbine, think jet engine turbine, you know, think hot on that aspect of it.
With the wheel material, and I guess as far as the weight of it, and that was kind of another question he had is, well, what's the difference? I can see these cast wheels online for this price, but there's these other ones that cost a little bit more and they have these billet wheels. Is it about the weight and just the energy you need to spin them? And so like going to a billet unit or billet wheels is something where you can lighten that up and spool it a bit quicker, get on top of it faster.
Yeah. The cast wheel stuff's good up to a point for sure. It does really well. But when you want to take it to the next level, you know, you want something that's going to be something that comes on a little quicker, transient boost response time. So like the weight of the compressor wheel and turbine rotor group together, it's, if you have that mass to be quite a bit lighter, it'll transition faster. Say you're kicking down and you're going to pass past somebody, that transition time to jump on boost is much quicker. Spool up time from a stoplight taking off and pulling a wagon, it can come on boost quite a bit quicker. When you're doing a billet wheel, the neat thing is like our five blade stuff, you know, it's pretty normal to see a seven blade cast wheel. And then the five blades move air more aggressively, especially at less pressure. They do really well at high pressure in the racing applications. And if you're going to be running the compound, the thing we found in a compound specifically, I think billet wheels do better for longevity, where the cast wheels, I think they fall apart and degrade a little bit more with high heat being shoved into them in a compound system, where the aluminum billet stuff is more robust. It's a stronger component, where the porosity in a cast piece can cause a weak point at a certain shaft speed, cause it to separate and split the wheel in half if you're making really high boost and high heat. So that's a factor that the billet wheels are just a bit stronger, a higher percentage rate of being stronger. And then you can machine them, you know, CNC them things in such a way that they are lighter and they move more air compared to the cast stuff. So it's a lot of options out there for sure.
I'll probably just have him call you guys for exactly the setup that he's got for it, because I'll try to explain it and I won't do a very good job of it. But I mean, I was just thinking back to when I was trying to just interested in turbos, and when you're not familiar with them, it can be very confusing with inducer, exducer. Sure. The number of blades, you know, which one do I want? Or people in different parts of the country might tell you, hey, run this turbo. And you look in there in Florida, sure, but you live in Montana or Idaho, and somebody else tells you, oh, it doesn't spool that quick up here. It's just a smoke show. And so trying to navigate all that, I think, is where, you know, like you guys, this is what you guys do. It helps to pick up the phone or send an email or chat into you guys and ask those questions.
Yeah, man, we speak turbo, that's for sure.
it was really cool to chat with you. I'm really looking forward to the racing stuff. It's something like, I just think over the last like year, it's kind of been like getting back to, you know, the races and the events that are going on and all the work, you know, that you put in over,
Oh,
well,
yeah.
for a really long time,
Yeah,
but especially, you know, the last couple of years and how fast you're going and the things you guys are doing, it's really exciting.
the technology's coming hard. And I mean, you know, all the guys here in the shop, I mean, it's definitely like our nights and weekends job. You know, we get the customer stuff out first, and then we start playing race car and truck in the weekends and nights and weekends. So it gets really hectic sometimes, for sure. Kind of feels like another full-time job at times. But yeah, I'm super excited. You know, we've been involved in a lot of people's hot rods, which is makes us feel good too, you know, to be involved and help other customers and dealers, you know, go fast. You know, like Ryan, for instance, you know, he's flying with that car. You know, Justin Ziegler, you mentioned UCC and the dyno. We're working with Justin on get the manifold on that 3,300 plus horsepower monster. And then you know, we were collaborating on, you know, tires, the best tire for the dyno. Some different things like that. The drag radials definitely seem to pay off for him. And we got racers like Mike Graves, Holly Rock, and Matty Graves. Great father-daughter racing a dragster, Duramax and a dragster platform. If you haven't seen those guys, you should check them out. They're racing in Florida this weekend. So anybody that's got Flow Racing or anything, they've been invited to the World Series at ProMod. It's a really big yearly event down there in Bradenton, Florida. They have the fastest diesel in the world right now. So we got a set of our 5-blade 468s on a Duramax, and Mike Graves and Maddie are two awesome people. Beautiful car, and she drives this thing like she stole it. It's fast, and it's just amazing to watch that team and how good they've been. And then take it to another level, like Rick Fleets. He's got that beautiful blue Chevelle. It's a 70 Chevelle. If you haven't seen that, it's been on like Sick Week. He's been all the drag and drive events. If guys that drive their hot rods to seven or what, five tracks in 5 days, and it's a really neat deal. It's a Hot Rod Drag Week. He's been on that as well. And this thing goes like mid 9 seconds, pulls the front wheels off the ground. It's got a Duramax in it as well, with one of our 472 units, a 5-blade Mafia unit. So. And those guys are just, it just blows my mind what the whole industry's been able to accomplish in the performance side. There's a whole lot of hot rods out there that are just, I could go on for a long time, but those guys are just impressive. And it's fun to be part of that. I love
Yeah, I think this
it.
year is going to be really fun to pay attention just to all the different things. It can almost be challenging to stay on top of it all. Like, you know, I
Oh,
saw
yeah.
some races with Maddie and you know, some of her stuff, and then Ryan Milliken, and I see what you're doing, and then I know UCC's around the corner, and it's like almost like Christmas time just
Yeah, man, it's
watching
an
it and
exciting
taking
time to
it
be
in.
alive. Yep, gonna be great, man. I can't wait to get out there and going fast again. So we're super close on the car. Should be putting some more sneak peeks out. The hood's on it, and a lot of new updates for it. And we're looking to go fast this year.
Well, it's always a pleasure to chat with you, Johnny. I appreciate your expertise and knowledge and sharing some race stuff with us. Look forward to seeing you out there and you know, seeing some of these new products, new things you guys are going to be hitting the market with.
Yeah, man. Good to be on again as well. Like I said, if anybody's got any questions, email us here at sales@stainlessdiesel.com. We'd be happy to answer all your questions and help you go fast.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to dmaxstore.com. If you've got a Duramax looking to get some upgraded parts on it or some maintenance that you're wanting to do to keep the truck running as good as it can be, they've definitely got you covered with a bunch of different upgrades. And we know it can be kind of intimidating as well when, you know, if you just pick up a new truck, you may not know the service history on it, may not know where to start with things you should upgrade. They could, could definitely help you out there. So just go over to dmaxstore.com or you can call them at 877-4-MY-DMAX. They love to chat about Duramax performance, upgrades, parts. Make sure that you guys get the things that you need to keep your truck running. Also, if you're in the market for a knife, our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a discount code just for you guys. It's 20% off site wide. Use code 20diesel at kershaw.kaiusa.com. Great way to save some money on some cool gear. Also, want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowe and a 23 Diesel, John, Caleb, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube, podcast apps, or on our Discord or TikTok. Message into us with requests for guests or just to tell us about your build. Or trying to put something together and don't know necessarily where to look and ask us for recommendations. We appreciate all your support over the years. 2023 is a big year for us. We got a ton of cool new things that are going to be coming out and hitting you guys with just tons of information, tons of things you guys have asked for. So we've gotten to more episodes per week to be able to deliver that, and look forward to getting that content out to you. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.